All right, you guys, time to deep dive more of this Epstein connections because it is what's ruling the world. If you haven't figured out that out by now, I don't know why you're here, but it is. We're going to talk about more of the named names that were named on the Congress floor this morning and why they were redacted, who they are, who redacted them in the first place, and what we are learning about that. Plus, we're going to talk about Hollywood Epstein connections and how they've been signaling to us all along these sort of demonic pedophile cults. It's no longer a conspiracy theory. It is real conspiracy. The person we're going to talk to about this is Jay Dyer. He's been telling us for years about all of this symbolism and what we should know about it. And now it's time. It's time to know it and talk about it in polite society. Are you in a polite mood?
I am. Eyes wide shut, of course. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about Howard Lutnick, calls for Howard Lutnick's resignation. He just got up in front of the Senate just a short time ago and was grilled over his lies about his associations with Jeffrey Epstein. Why did he lie? Why did he lie in interviews? Why did he lie to the American people about his associations with Jeffrey Epstein? Is there any money that was handed over there? We'd like to get those answers. The White House saying, nope, they're sticking with this guy. Okay. Anyway, we're going to talk about all of that and so much more here on the show today. Thank you guys so much for subscribing and being a part of our community. We really appreciate it. Whether you're on Rumble, whether you're on X, whether you're on YouTube, thank you guys so much for your support. Before we get to all of that news, we got to tell you about this. Early onset dementia and Alzheimer's are rising fast. Listen to this. Some reports show diagnosis up 373% in people between the age of 30 and 44, and up 311% in ages 45 to 54 in the United States in recent years. And here's what's wild. When we talk about brain disease, we usually talk about the brain, but a lot of researchers point to chronic inflammation and oxidative stress as major drivers. And more evidence ties those processes right back to your gut bacteria. That's right, because your gut and your brain are in constant communication. The gut-brain axis, as they call it. And your microbiome can influence inflammation, mood, memory, and cognitive function. And that's why I want to tell you about our friends at Kimchi One, the Brightcore, the makers of Kimchi One, because there are studies showing that kimchi's bioactive compounds may help support brain health, including memory, cognitive function, and it's loaded with probiotics. So Brightcore created Kimchi One because it has all the benefits of real kimchi in a convenient capsule. No taste, no smell, virtually no sodium at all. Made in the USA, non-GMO. So right now you can get an exclusive offer. Just if you click the link below, for 25% off your entire order, if you go to mybrightcore.com/redacted, or an even better deal is if you call them, you'll get 50% off if you just get on the phone and talk with them. They want to develop a relationship with you. Imagine that in America, they want to have a relationship with their customers. So call 888-404-6312. And by the way, their team from Brightcore called me the other day because I put in my own order. I buy them myself. So I made a big order. And one of the team members just called me, had no idea who I was. And just said, hey, I'm calling from Brightcore. I just wanted to see how you guys are doing. Were you happy with your order? You know, any problems at all? Let me know. I was like, oh, everything's great. You know, but he'd had no idea who I was and just called me out of the blue just to check up on me, which was super cool. So anyway, check them out and give them a call. 888-404-6312. Big fans of the team over at Brightcore. I take it every day.
As an adult, it's so exciting when someone asks about your microbiome.
Right.
Thank you for asking. I can talk about it until the cows come home.
Right. So thank you for calling. I appreciate it. So, hey, get your questions in now for Jay Dyer. Jay Dyer is going to be joining us here in a few minutes to talk about the Hollywood Epstein connection, Eyes Wide Shut, Stanley Kubrick, all of that.
So Demonic symbolism in pretty much every Hollywood movie and concert that you go to. Yeah,
so any questions you have, drop them here in the comments. Any questions you have specifically, any super chats you want to get in, we'll try to ask Jay as we interview him here in about 10 minutes or so. But first, we've got a big update to get to here. A new batch of Epstein co-conspirators have finally been named, thanks to the work of Congressman Ro Khanna and Congressman Thomas Massey. Ro Khanna just took to the floor of the House of Representatives and blasted the DOJ for clearly trying to hide these names. Watch.
Mr. Speaker, yesterday, Congressman Massey and I went to the Department of Justice to read the unredacted Epstein files. We spent about 2 hours there, and we learned that 70 to 80% of the files are still redacted. In fact, there were six wealthy, powerful men that the DOJ hid for no apparent reason. When Congressman Massey and I pointed this out to the Department of Justice. They acknowledged their mistake, and now they have revealed the identity of these six powerful men. These men are Salvatore Navora, Zorab Mikolajs, Leopig Leonor, Nicola Caputa, Sultan Ahmed bin Suleim, CEO of Dubai Ports World, and billionaire businessman Leslie Wexner, who was labeled as a co-conspirator by the FBI. Now, my question is, why did it take Thomas Massie and me going to the Justice Department to get these six men's identities to become public? And if we found six men that they were hiding in 2 hours, imagine how many men they are covering up for in those 3 million files.
Bingo. Now, maybe we should point out, here are the names again. Salvatore Nora, Zorab Mikolajs, Leonek Leonev, Nicola Caputo, Sultan Ahmed bin Suleiman. Of course, we're going to talk more about him on Thursday here on the show and do more of a deep dive. Billionaire businessman Leslie Wexner. But just on the Leslie Wexner part, named as a co-conspirator here.
Now, Wexner, you may have known, was Epstein's main financier. He gave him one of the largest apartments in New York City. Epstein had full power of attorney over all of Wexner's assets, and he is a billionaire, continues to be. He's one of the founders of Bed Bath & Beyond and a founder of Victoria's Secret and La Senza, one other I'm missing right now. So he amasses great amount of fortune, and Epstein, having very little experience in personal finance, becomes his main guy. Now, we have known this since at least 2008 when Epstein was deposed and the lawyers who represented the victims asked about Wexner. We've known that since way before that. The question is, why did the DOJ never have him testify? Why was he never interviewed? All we can see from the files is that he was deposed 2 weeks before Epstein died. And then, Epstein's dead. I guess we don't have to do this anymore. And we don't know. Now we know that the DOJ all along has labeled Wexner a co-conspirator. So what did they do with that? Did they investigate him? Did they ever go? They never raided his house, as far as we know. They never impaneled a grand jury, as far as we know, unless it was sealed indictments. We don't know. Why has he been protected all along? Why does he go free? What happened after he replaced Epstein with somebody else? Did that other guy, we talked about him yesterday, did he do anything? We don't know. What we do know is that he is a prominent donor to Israeli causes. He is a Jewish businessman. We do know that he had alliances with Ehud Barak, the former prime minister. We do know that Benjamin Netanyahu's son once called Wexner a cult of pedophiles because he said that he was aligned with the far left in Israel. And then Netanyahu obviously is the right-wing version of Israeli politics. He has said that Wexner has been trying to influence Israeli politics for decades, and that appears to be true with his donations. So who protected him? Why did we never, if the DOJ all along has labeled him a co-conspirator, why has he been left alone? Also, strange bit is that he went on to buy the Martha's Vineyard home that the Obamas had rented. What is that connection? These are very serious questions that we never got answered. And yet, when we have been screaming about Lex Wexner for over a decade, the DOJ said nothing. And we now know they did, in fact, label him a co-conspirator. So that's major. That we knew it. We've been screaming his name forever. And now they're like, yeah, we've been on that one. So we're like, and then?
Well, also, it's worth pointing out that Kash Patel was lying when he said this about co-conspirators. Watch.
There's no credible information. None. If there were, I would bring the case yesterday that he trafficked to other individuals. And the information we have, again, is limited.
So the answer is no one?
For the information that we have.
In the files?
In the case file.
Okay.
So
now, we don't know that Wexner was trafficked to. We don't know that he trafficked from. What we know is that Epstein had a source, very mysterious source, of massive amount of wealth that allowed him to have these different lairs around the world. And it is improbable that Lex Wexner did not know about it. Now, people have made the connection. Victoria's Secret is a place to go and get young girls, people who want to get into the funnel of Victoria's Secret models. What happened there? These are valid questions.
Well, and yes, Whitney Webb, who's been a guest on our show, she's been covering the Les Wexner piece of this story for years here on Redacted. This goes back very, you know, many, many years, and she called it out. She called it out. So she knew about it. If she knew about it, why was the DOJ hiding it? A very good question from Ro Khanna. Meanwhile, more calls for Howard Lutnick to resign today from the Trump's cabinet as Commerce Secretary or be impeached. So Howard Lutnick said recently in an interview that in 2005, his 2005 visit to Jeffrey Epstein's home left him so revolted that he cut ties with Epstein. But today, in front of Congress, now that the Epstein files have been released, he had to totally revise his bullshit story. Watch.
Lutnick, I think you understand the root of concern here. It's the way you described very emphatically your first encounter with him in his apartment, said you were disgusted, would never have any contact with him again. Did you, in fact, make the visit to Jeffrey Epstein's private island?
I did have lunch with him as I was on a boat going across on a family vacation. My wife was with me, as were my four children and nannies. I had another couple with, they were there as well with their children, and we had lunch on the island. That is true, for an hour, and we left with all of my children, with my nannies and my wife all together. We were on family vacation. We were not apart. To suggest there was anything untoward about that in 2012, I don't recall why we did it, but
Mr. Secretary, again, as I said, there.
Yeah.
You don't recall. The emails make it clear why he did it. He set it up purposefully and gave all the ages of the teenagers.
So, yes, the new emails show that Lutnick remained in contact for years afterward, including a 2012 email discussing a visit to Epstein's island and a trip and a lunch with Epstein and his own children. By the way, as Chili Pepper in our chat room says on YouTube, says over 30% of the people killed in the Twin Towers worked for Howard Lutnick. He didn't go to work that day. He then profited off of the event and supported Israeli initiatives.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, well.
Thank you for that. Let's follow that trail.
Yeah, I mean, he's been interviewed many, many times about how devastating it was to lose all of his employees and all of that, obviously. So, but yes, I mean, exactly. Was he being covered here and protected? So. And then reporters today, of course, swarmed him after his testimony, and he's just smiling and sort of grinning ear to ear as he's being pressed about, why did you lie and why were you continuing to hang out with a convicted sex offender? Watch.
People about your interactions with Epstein?
Did you have any financial involvement with Jeffrey Epstein?
Why did you keep contact with Jeffrey Epstein after he pled guilty to sex crimes?
Come on, give us some space.
What do you say to the Democrats calling on for you to resign?
Give us some space.
Mr. Epstein, people of your level in the British government...
Someone called him Mr. Epstein.
Give us some space.
Why did you keep contact with Jeffrey Epstein after he pled guilty?
I look forward to testifying today.
Did you mischaracterize your relationship with him? Why did you say you found him gross but still kept in contact with him?
What do you say to those who are calling for you to resign now?
Are you willing to speak to Congress about this?
I'm going to speak to Congress right now.
Do you expect to be asked about Epstein?
Why did you mischaracterize?
So, yeah, excuse me.
He's just on his way in.
Yeah, go ahead.
So if I'm around somebody that truly creeps me out, I mean, one of two things is going to happen. I'm going to put them on their ass and leave, or I'm just going to leave. But, like, I'm not going to go back around them no matter how, like, what the situation is. And I sure as hell am not going to bring my kids.
Yeah. Right.
You know, like, I don't get that.
To the creep fest, like, private island, you're going to bring your kids and your wife and allow them to go off and just sort of play while you're having lunch with Jeffrey Epstein on his private island?
What part of philanthropist do you guys not understand? I mean, come on.
I understand philanderer. I don't understand philanthropist. Yeah. So the White House, after this testimony today, said we're going to stand by him. You know, nothing to see here. Don't worry about it. So I guess he's fine inside the White House. It is worth pointing out, though, a bit of a weird sort of dichotomy between President Trump and Howard Lutnick on this specific issue, because it's something we reported earlier this week. A newly unsealed court document revealed that Donald Trump called the police on Jeffrey Epstein in 2006. The document reports that the president called then Palm Beach Police Chief Michael Ryder to thank him for investigating the, quote, disgusting sex criminal Jeffrey Epstein. Those are Trump's words in the document to the police chief. And it's now part of the FBI record. It sparked an investigation into Epstein. And Trump told police, thank you for investigating this disgusting sex criminal Epstein along with his, quote, evil partner, Ghislaine Maxwell. Turns out, according to the FBI, Trump was one of the, quote, very first people to call the police about Epstein, end quote. So however you feel about it, you know, it's not for, yeah, I'm just pointing out. So Trump in 2006 knew Epstein was a, quote, disgusting sex criminal, and yet Howard Lutnick didn't have any problems offering to send his kids to Epstein's island a year later when he broke
and
ties
then,
with him.
President Trump doesn't have any problems surrounding himself with people who are connected to the, like the new appointed, about to be appointed Federal Reserve chair.
Kevin Warsh.
Who had connections to Epstein. Appointing Bill Barr as his attorney general.
Right.
When Bill Barr is connected to Epstein's circle intimately. It was his father that gave Epstein his first job. It makes no sense that he would be both a whistleblower and then constantly surrounded by this circle. I can't. I'm not prepared to make heads or tails of that. I'm extremely uncomfortable with it.
Well, and as someone points out in our chat, Tara said in our chat says, and Bondi, Pam Bondi, was the local DA in charge of Epstein's sweetheart deal
right.
at the time. So
yeah.
Again, you're right. So all of these people that were like, so he called him, if that's true, I have no reason to believe it's not true because in the FBI's record and the chief of police confirmed it, and we have the police report confirming it. So, I mean, it might be fake. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
He was saying he was disgusting sex criminal.
Uh-huh.
And evil Ghislaine Maxwell. And thank you for investigating these weirdos. And then you surround yourself with all these people who are like kept company with them.
Right. It doesn't make sense. I mean, Clayton and I have had certain communities where we're like, I don't think we want to hang out with those people anymore. And then we make sure we don't go to events adjacent. Like,
right.
that's how normal people behave, I think. I don't think that makes us virtuous. I think that makes us normal. So then how do you surround yourself with people adjacent?
Right.
But then that just kind of begs the question, then why is the Trump administration then so adamant about hiding anything in the Epstein files?
Right.
And is it simply to protect all of these people? I mean, to protect, the Sultan from Dubai? To protect people like Howard Lutnick, to protect people who might be embarrassed by their associations with him.
Yeah.
Here's a question in our chat room from Cassie. Thank you for your $9 super chat. Says, what are your thoughts on the redacted versus unredacted names of the non-victims in the files? Were they already known, expendable to the higher-ups in the evil organization, so they were offered up and then they were unredacted? It's a great question. It's a question we're going to ask, hopefully, Congressman Massey and Ro Khanna about specifically, because I think there's a lot of mistakes in these redactions, as clear, like they redacted the certain names throughout the documents and then they left certain documents with those exact same names unredacted. Well, why did you redact them over here but not redact them here? It makes no sense. So there's a lot of mistakes in these documents. I don't know what nefarious things they were up to, but clearly with these six names that they purposefully withheld, people like Leslie Wexner, like why wouldn't you release mm-hmm. those names?
Yeah,
seems
well,
like
I think
clear obfuscation and covering up.
Yeah, I mean that's just it. I think the names that they've made sure get redacted are the ones with something to hide.
Yeah.
People that are named in the Epstein files but don't have anything to hide. There's no real reason to redact those, which just goes to me to show that it's not like just pure incompetence, that there's malicious intent in here and who they are redacting.
Right.
King US says in our chat room, the issue, in my opinion, is that a lot of the victims became perpetrators. I think you might be onto something there.
Yes, that's we'll talk about that another time. You're right about that.
All right, we're going to talk about Hollywood here in a second and Eyes Wide Shut and all of those Hollywood connections to the Epstein network. And we're going to dive deeply into that with Jay Dyer. So get your questions in now for Jay. We'll talk to him in a second. But first,
we want to tell you about our friends over at Masa Chips, because if you want to hit your weight loss goal or your health goals in 2026, well, you know you need to start with moderation. You can't just cut out all chips. If you live in American society, we need to have our chips, right?
We need chips.
We need chips. It's Taco Tuesday. We will be having chips with our dinner tonight. But we want to make sure we're making the best choices. Now, we use masa chips because masa chips contain just three ingredients, corn, sea salt, and 100% grass-fed beef tallow. So no seed oils, no mysterious chemicals, just real food. They don't just avoid all the bad stuff. They taste incredible, too. There's a reason that they're sold at Sprouts Farmers Market nationwide. That's a big deal. So snacking on masa chips is nothing like regular chips. You actually feel satisfied because they're hearty. It's like Mexican restaurant tortilla chips. They're fantastic. They're not light. They're actually satisfying. You don't have that bloat, that sluggish feeling after because you ate too much. So try them for yourself. Go to masachips.com/redactednews. Beef tallow fried chips, you guys. Come on. Use the code redactednews and you'll get 25% off your first order or scan that QR code that you see on your screen. One more time, that's masachips.com/redactednews.
And we want to tell you about Rumble Wallet. Oh, man, when they rolled this out a few weeks ago, you felt the earthquakes. A lot of the big banks not happy with it. You've seen the conversations happening online, right? Censorship is back. It's happening everywhere. Platforms controlling narratives, pushing the stuff they want us to see. We need to fight back. And Rumble is the only company that has stood the test of time and deserves our support. On one side, Rumble is challenging big tech censorship, but now on the other side, they've just introduced something that will give us protection from big banks shutting us off. You saw what happened to the Gray? Did you see what happened to our friends at the Gray Zone last week? Yeah, they shut down their PayPal account. The Gray Zone, one of the great journalism teams in America, in the world, frankly, and they just shut them down. Again, that's exactly what's happening to these conservative commentators. They will just shut you down. With Rumble Wallet, you control your money. Not a bank, not a government, not a tech company, not even Rumble can touch it. It's yours, only yours, yours to protect your future and family. So that's why they launched Rumble Wallet, a wallet that no one can cancel and a wallet that supporters can use to instantly tip creators like ourselves without any middleman taking any cuts. So it's not only a way to buy and save, but it also allows you to support your favorite creators by easily tipping them with the click of a button. Also be no fees when you tip our channel or anybody else that you want to support on Rumble. And they receive that tip instantly, by the way. So you can buy and save digital assets like Bitcoin, Tether Gold, all in one place on Rumble Wallet. Tether Gold is real gold on the blockchain with ownership of physical gold bars. So you can support our show today and other creators just by going to wallet.rumble.com. Download Rumble Wallet today. Open an account and step away from the big banks. Wallet.rumble.com.
Well, the release of the Epstein files shows us that elite sexual rituals depicted in the film Eyes Wide Shut are real. Our guest today is Jay Dyer. He's been researching this for years, showing how Hollywood has been signaling this to us for decades. Now, if you haven't seen the movie Eyes Wide Shut, I'm not suggesting you go and do that. It's about elite sex rituals that are meant to solidify hierarchy, power, and control. When the film was released, it was dismissed as kind of boring and unrealistic. Now, in light of the Epstein files, it reads as psychologically accurate, honest, and maybe even restrained. The film's director, Stanley Kubrick, died after he made the final edits, so he was never able to be asked about it. So the question is, why did Hollywood elites allow this film to be shown? What are we seeing here? How do we know? What are we looking at? So Jay Dyer, welcome back to Redacted. Thank you so much for joining us. You wrote this on X the other day, and I thought we would have you explain it. You said, this is real. It puts the famous Rothschild's mask ball photos in a new light. This has been going on for a long time. So I'm just going to hand you the floor and explain to us what the hell.
Yeah, thank you. Glad to be back with you guys. Yeah, I wrote a really in-depth analysis of Eyes Wide Shut, kind of a academic style essay maybe in 2011. And I got quite a bit of attention from it because people started noticing, hey, you know, this aspect of the ritual, this aspect of the tie into Hollywood, there's actually history behind a lot of this. And Kubrick, as a, you know, somewhat of a counter establishment figure, was putting a lot of messages into his films. And so I was studying film at a graduate level as well in terms of propaganda at the same time. So the deeper I dove into this, I started realizing that in the academic literature, which, you know, most people don't actually read, not that they would, I mean, it's just for a bunch of nerds. They started coming out with books 10, 15 years ago about the relationship of the CIA to Hollywood at an academic level, right? So Normal people aren't reading this. This isn't really in the media. You had even right after 9/11, there was academic texts like Operation Hollywood. And what these books were describing was this intimate relationship between high-level A-listers, producers, directors, the Pentagon, the NSA, the FBI, as well as other foreign intelligence agencies, obviously the Mossad and British intelligence. And so turns out there's always been this really close relationship between film, propaganda, the deep state, intelligence agencies, and it turns out sex cults. And so I thought that Kubrick's film was just so profound in that it ties in all of that stuff together, because if you don't recall or if you're not aware, the narrative of the story is that Tom Cruise is a sort of, you know, wealthy mid-level New York elite doctor who gets invited to a very, say, higher tier billionaire level party. And the invitation is sort of mysterious. We don't exactly know if he's supposed to be there, if he's not supposed to be there. But what he stumbles upon is essentially there's a tier of people above him that are engaged in international or ritual sex type stuff, including murders, assassinations, probably suggesting other things, with the Lily Sobieski character being underage trafficking of girls and so forth. And there's even a curious line in the film where when the Tom Cruise character goes to the costume store and he says, what do I need for a masked ball, you know, a Renaissance style masked ball? And the director, the owner of the costume store, who is a trafficker himself connected to the network, he says, they say, you're going to need this special cloak. And so that is a cloak worn specifically by royals in Europe and in the UK. And so when Tom Cruise stumbles upon this and gets to this big event here, he sees this mass ritual orgy. It's a black mass, essentially. It's very Crowleyan in terms of Aleister Crowley style rituals. And ultimately, we find out this is a network that is compromising and is essentially controlling the wealthiest people, in this case in New York, probably the East Coast as well. The guy has a British accent that sort of runs the cult, the Hierophant. So long story short, I think the phrase Eyes Wide Shut is essentially describing the fact that back in the late 90s when Kubrick did this film, most people's eyes were wide shut. They were open, but they're shut to how the world really works, which is what this film is about. And if you go back to my book, the very first chapter, I talked about how this is describing the strategy and the techniques of the Rothschild mass balls, as you put up.
Did we just lose audio?
I think we just lost
audio. Yeah, we just lost
Jay's. Yeah, for some reason, Jay, you're muted on Zoom.
Yeah, so the mass ball essentially was, I think, a perfect setup for how you could compromise people. And that's kind of what we get with Tom Cruise and his character in this sequence, is that he's brought in, he's perhaps being inducted, it's unclear, but he's definitely in the position of being compromised. And we notice throughout the film's narrative that this cult has all of the powers and abilities of an intelligence agency at their disposal. They're able to fake the news stories, they're able to assassinate, right? And there's this cult element where the other model who takes the place of Tom Cruise says, don't kill him. I will be the sacrifice for him. I will redeem him. And that has to do with earlier in the film, because Tom Cruise's character is a doctor. He saved her life at that first party. So look, this is high level stuff. This is telling us everything about how the world really works. It's based on an older German novel called Traumnovelle. And I think that novel was updated by Kubrick on purpose to tell us they're really into this underage stuff. And that's also a theme in many Kubrick films, Lolita, Barry Lyndon, on and on and on. Dr. Strangelove, you have this idea that the elite want younger people to abuse, to traumatize, and they run the world through these cult networks.
I want to get into Stanley Kubrick in a second, because, yeah, I've studied his films for years. And when I went to film school back in the day, I want to get into that piece of this and his mysterious death. And of course, the edit that we never got to see. So just put that on the back burner for a second. But you mentioned the Rothschild's balls. Forgive the way of saying it.
Well, he has pictures. If we could put them up, they're incredibly.
Don't put
creepy
pictures of their balls up.
Yeah, don't put the Rothschild's balls up. I don't want to see those things. But
Let's call them galas.
So, Jay, what happens at these galas? What exactly are we looking at here? And what is the history of these things?
These are older images from the 60s and 70s where they were inviting very prominent people. In fact, some of the pictures include people like Audrey Hepburn being at these balls. And, you know, this is, I think, an old European tradition. So the ball itself is nothing new. I've done research in my grad studies on Renaissance era mass balls. And what the elite would do is you bring all these people to these sort of Saturnalian parties where you have O-R-G-I-E-S, shall we say. And that goes back to, like I said, medieval Europe. And for a long time, it could be it's a perfect setting to compromise people. So if you go into the history of sexual blackmail and these kinds of operations, the Rothschilds were at the front of this for many, many centuries. In fact, in terms of Epstein himself, the Robert Maxwell was a front for the Rothschild operation. And I think you guys have talked to Whitney Webb. The first few chapters of her book detail how Maxwell was brought in as a frontispiece, a kind of a facade for the Rothschilds to be a corporate takeover artist, to be this publishing magnate that was a front to cut out. And that was all at the behest of both British intelligence and Israel as well at the same time. So the Rothschilds seem to really be perfect at this. It's a science that they perfected. In fact, there's some information and indications. People have written some books theorizing that if you go back to the Cambridge spy ring and the famous story of the Soviets that defected, many of whom were, by the way, homosexual. The reason that matters is because they were very close to Lord Victor Rothschild, who many people suspect was the key a person behind that Cambridge spy ring, because he was playing both sides, both British intelligence and playing the side of the Soviets. And there was that famous email that came out from Epstein a few days ago explaining that, well, the reason that Maxwell was assassinated was because he tried to extort the Mossad, whom he worked for, appointing himself as an attaché for Israel to the Soviets. And the KGB actually had translations that my friend did where they were during the Cold War, they had the exact same assessment of Maxwell. He's playing both sides. He's trying to feed us secrets as he's trying to extort the Mossad. And that was supposedly, according to Epstein, the reason why they took him out. Now, the reason I say all that is that, again, this is, as Epstein himself says, a Rothschild operation. He is an agent, an attaché, a legate of the Rothschilds. Many emails confirm this, including business deals beyond just being a legate. And again, that's because they have this longtime connection, not just to intelligence and to apparently cults as well, as the history of the nation state of Israel, going all the way back to the 1860s, according to Moses Hess. It's also because they're an elite, powerful European banking dynasty. And intelligence really comes out of banking. This is something a lot of people understand. They think, oh, it's James Bond, it's assassinating people, it's this, that. That's a lower level. The real origin of intelligence, even according to the mainline Rothschild biographers, like the Morton text, which is an official biography of the Rothschilds, within the first few chapters, the famous story about Waterloo, that they had advanced intelligence that allowed them to buy up the collapsed stock market in the UK and London. That's true. They all brag about that. They're like, yeah, absolutely. And the way we were able to do that was advanced intelligence. It's not an accident that when David Rockefeller sets up his banking empire, it's because he comes out of military intelligence. He brags about that in his memoirs. So we got to understand that intelligence, cults, networks, and even Hollywood all tie together. There's no perfect example than this.
Wow.
So what do you think Eyes Wide Shut was trying to tell us? Were they trying to warn us, or it's because it's part of their ethos to tell us to do it in plain sight?
So I've gotten to know Vivian Kubrick, Kubrick's daughter, since writing my books and doing all this. And we've had a lot of conversations. And the way Vivian describes it is that she says her dad was a genuinely anti-establishment person. She thinks that he did have some spiritual sensibilities about him, even though he was kind of agnostic. He did believe in, you know, inexplicable, mysterious types of phenomena. So he wasn't like a total rank materialist per se, but she said that his perspective was that, you know, he had seen a lot, done a lot. When he was younger, he was a little more naive when it came to Spartacus and films where he was perhaps more so on the socialist communist side. And after many years, as he got, you know, more mature and older, the themes in his films, I think, really are accurate. So I don't think Kubrick was intentionally part of a conspiracy or trying to cover things up. I think he really was saying, look, here's what's really going on. People don't understand it. I don't know any other way to convey it other than the art form that I've chosen, this medium. But I would say in terms of the film itself, again, it's almost like the film is a ritual itself. It's kind of an initiation process because the character Bill Harford is, you know, totally eyes wide shut at the beginning. He doesn't know how the world really works. He thinks he's at the elite top of, you know, the power structure. He's a very successful, wealthy, multi-million dollar doctor in New York. And then he meets this whole other class of people who live a totally different, untouchable, you know, free from any legalities, doing whatever they want, do what thou wilt worldview. And he's totally mystified. He has no idea. It just totally destroys his world. And one of the themes throughout the film is Freudian, you know, sexual, you know, psychoanalysis type stuff. I won't go too deep into that. But the point of that is that just like he's struggling with his own sexuality in his marriage, he realizes that the elite, they use sexuality as a currency to control the masses. So I think that those are the key elements of what Eyes Wide Shut is trying to tell us, is that we're actually ruled by elites who have no morals, no moral compass whatsoever. They're absolutely satanic. And even though the film doesn't explicitly mention, you know, Satanism or Crowley, the very ominous sort of reversal music that's played is actually something that Aleister Crowley was into, which was taking music or taking speech and reversing it to teach people the principle of what he called inversion, or taking good things and proper things and then inverting them to their opposite. A lot of people who have a satanic worldview or a very dark hermetic worldview, they think that you can actually gain power by doing that. And perhaps if the film is portraying this ritual perspective, that would explain a lot, especially if you think about the Epstein Bannon interview, which we just live streamed on my channel yesterday or a couple of days ago. Epstein basically seems like he's into, you know, Kabbalism and into the occult. So I think there is an overlap there.
So a couple of things here on... Kubrick co-wrote, if I remember correctly, he co-wrote the movie Eyes Wide Shut. And it's based on like a 1920s, right? 1920s novella.
Yeah, trauma novella.
Yeah, like a German novella at the time. So it's clear like this has been happening for many decades, right? So this wasn't like a new idea. He's trying to, you know, expose Hollywood. This had been going on for decades, and this was a modern adaptation of something that's been happening for more than, you know, hundreds of years.
Yeah. Yeah. We did for example, on my channel, we did a lecture through a book called Sexpionage by just a mainline historian, Walter Bower. And in that book, he says that one of the elements that most people don't realize that has brought down kingdoms, destroyed civilizations, and ended wars is sexpionage, which is the art of sexual compromise, honey traps, blackmail, etc. We've all seen this in movies. If you know, you saw the Jennifer Lawrence movie Red Sparrow, that was about Stalin and the NKVD techniques of training operatives and making them into sex honey traps. But the CIA always supposedly has this line of, well, we don't do that in the West. That's something that, you know, China and Russia do. Because we're moral. But the reality is that just simply they don't do it under the cover of the CIA. They use other things. Think about Operation Midnight Climax. That was an MKUltra adjacent program that's declassified, where the CIA was wanting to study the effects of LSD on Johns in the midst of sexual things, liaisons. And so they dosed the Johns using mafia brothels. And so that's Operation Midnight Climax right there. So what does that tell you? Wow. That, you know, when they say, oh, we don't use, you know, sexual operatives. Well, no, they just farm it out to, you know, brothels run by organized crime, which has always had a close relationship with the CIA and the OSS going back to World War II. So, yes, you're absolutely right. In fact, there's a famous guy you could look up, Kenji Doihara, as an example. He was the Japanese Jeffrey Epstein back at the turn of the century in the Japanese-Chinese War. He got this idea to set up a bunch of brothels in China and put the prostitutes strategically in the locations near where the Chinese generals lived. And he was able to defeat China through opium and prostitution networks. And the prostitutes were all spies. And so I think that you're starting to see the picture come together. Like, this is a known technique. It's just not known to people unless you've studied, you know, history or military history. Like, this is how the world really works.
So it's like a buffet. You have sexual perversion, sexual rituals, drugs, like just choose whatever we can do to control. There's no rules for this kind of thing, although it seems to be there are rituals. How much do you think the rituals that as we see in the Epstein files were organized in these ways? So we see things like thanks, had fun at the hunt. What else do we see? The one that you brought about and MK Ultra grooming this sex kitten about like this is she's smart. She is wounded in this way. We'll try and like groom her and manipulate her in this way. Is it willy nilly? Is there a schedule? Do you get calendar invited? What do you think?
Great question. You know, some of that domain is still a little ambiguous and unknown. However, I've got several books from MKUltra doctors themselves up there on my shelf. I can get them if I need to. For example, John C. Lilly's book, Programming and Metaprogramming in the Human Biocomputer, that's all about LSD in human programming and MKUltra operations. So Jose Delgado has a book up there, Physical Control of the Mind. So these are all real MKUltra adjacent doctors who were studying these things. And if you think about Alfred Kinsey, his research was funded by the Rockefeller Foundation to study underage sexuality. He's the one that, of course, was a notorious PDF with those disgusting experiments that he did on kids. And he's the one that promoted the idea that everybody is on a spectrum gay. So we're all Skittles, we're all rainbow. According to Kinsey, he was a big promoter of, you know, the 60s countercultural sexual revolution type ideology. So when you think about at an academic level, you've got these so-called academics and scientists and sociologists studying this sexuality and then promoting these ideas that become, you know, sort of toxic culture. I think you're spot on when we consider the possibility that the deepest that we can go into the public information on MKUltra does include fracturing personalities. It does include attempts, at least, at using LSD, according to Lilly, even on young children to program various alters in them in experiments. He explicitly says that at the end of the book. So I would suspect with that email, it looks like a person who was spotting or recruiting for Jeffrey Epstein, looking for people who had, according to him, sexual trauma, which would make them more susceptible to being developed or being, programmed, so to speak, into being some sort of operative. It even gets into weird sort of, I don't believe in X-Men stuff, literally, but it's like that, where it's the person can develop abilities or techniques, and we don't know what that stage three means, but it does sound like the type of process that you read in some of these MKUltra doctors in terms of traumatizing and programming people to be operatives. And we see like heads of state, queens, kings, billionaires, they're offering their daughters to Jeffrey and saying, hey, take her, program her. Hey, my son, he's 15. How do I program him to, you know, interact with women? Like, could you give me advice on parenting? Like, just insane. Like, who would ask Jeffrey Epstein for parenting advice? Well, apparently the children of the royals and the elites throughout the world do.
Yeah. I want to circle back to Stanley Kubrick here. And by the way, just some great super chats. Any questions we have here for Jay? Greg Pye says, all the systems of society have been fully infiltrated by an invisible enemy. Family, education, religion, media, government, technology, government. Thanks, Redacted, and keep up the great work. Thank you. So Stanley Kubrick, you know, he died, I think, was it 2 weeks after he had submitted his final edit? Was it, do I have that timeline?
I forget the exact date, but it was soon.
Yeah. And so the edit that he submitted of the film, we've never seen, right? Unless you've seen it, or maybe, I'm sure maybe,
no, I've not.
Maybe
I've
Vivian not. Has seen it. I'm curious if his daughter has seen it.
Yeah, I've asked Vivian about that because, of course, this is a question that's asked a lot. And she says and claims that she doesn't have any information on that. So she doesn't,
reportedly, it was destroyed, right? I mean, apparently, according to reports, it was destroyed. And so the cut then, Jay, maybe you can talk about this, the cut we ended up seeing in the film removes like a huge swath of the child pedophilia stuff that he was in. I guess, does Vivian believe that he was exposing it, like exposing the child pedophile rings? And that's why, like, the Hollywood edits, that they when we got it finally released, they removed that edit of the film.
My suspicion would be that it was removed because it suggests all of that. And that actually explains some of the details in the cuts that we do have that don't kind of make sense. Some of the little nods, for example, clearly that's what's going on with the Over the Rainbow, you know, costume store, because the the guy that runs the costume store, you know, sends Lily Sobieski out, who's intentionally underage. She's like supposed to be like around 14 or so. And then she's coming out flirting with Tom Cruise when he's trying to buy this cloak. And then she says, you're going to need an ermine cloak or something like that. And you can't even hear the line because she whispers it unless you have the subtitles on. But that's suggesting that he needs a cloak that European royals and nobility wore. But it's also suggestive that she's been there already. She's been to these parties. So this guy is connected to the parties, and he's a kind of networking fixer. If you remember, when Tom Cruise gets there, he walks in and he sees these two Japanese businessmen that are all dressed up like women, and they're partying with Lily Sobieski, who's, you know, underage, running around in her underwear. So those details, which are kind of odd and not really, they don't really come up elsewhere in the film, make a lot more sense if the cut of the film was suggesting what you're saying.
Now, sometimes I see, you know, the algorithm serves me things about Illuminati type symbolism in, say, a Taylor Swift concert or a Beyonce concert. My sister went to a Beyonce concert and left absolutely convinced that that was all Illuminati symbolism. And what, you know, these theories say is that they have to show us what they're doing, that that's a part of it. And so you can never tell if something is a warning or a part of this. What do you think of that? And not just this film, but other pop cultural consumptive products.
Yeah, great question. I mean, there's probably all the above, because we have a lot of history of evidence and declassified documents, for example, about a lot of A-list actors being spies. You go back to the World War II era, and we had people that were suspected of being spies, like Marlene Dietrich, who people thought she was a Nazi spy, but she actually worked for or wanted to work for the OSS. We have Jimmy Stewart was an informant for the FBI, for example. We have Cary Grant was informing on Errol Flynn for the OSS.
Yeah.
We have a lot of famous people like Julia Child, who were spies for the OSS. And then onwards up into today, where you've got people like Ben Affleck, for example, who openly has talked about working and consulting with the CIA on several films, including Argo, which is ironic because Argo is a film about the CIA doing a fake film during the Iranian Revolution. So
it's also meta. Yeah,
it's super meta, exactly. It's getting into reality, which is also odd, too, with Tom Cruise being so heavy in Scientology and then
fronting this elements. Film. Yeah,
exactly. So there's a lot of meta stuff going on with some
has
of this.
Has he ever indicated that he believes this as a social warning? I don't watch People magazine or anything like that.
The only thing I could come up with Tom Cruise in this, and I put this in the third book, was that back right after 9/11, there was some public news articles discussing Tom Cruise wanting to be a kind of PR consultant type person promoting the CIA. So I don't know if Tom Cruise is in the CIA or anything like that. The only thing I found is that there were articles right after 9/11 saying Tom wanted to do CIA promotional type stuff. And we've actually seen, if you go watch the clips on YouTube, there's Jennifer Garner has CIA promotionals that she did as a PR operative working for the CIA as well, because she was on the show Alias with J.J. Abrams, who Abrams says the CIA consulted on Alias. So a lot of consultation and this, you know, a lot of propaganda has gone on in films that just people just don't know about. But Wag the Dog, by the way, is a film that's actually about the CIA producing films. Anyway, long story short, I think probably all the above. You've got a lot of blockbusters tend to be heavy with the propaganda because they know so many people are going to be watching those. But there's a lot of art house films, a lot of independent films where the directors really do have a desire, I think, to, you know, expose truth and get the truth out there. I've done interviews with Sean Stone. I think several Oliver Stone films had the intention to expose things and get the information out as far as Oliver Stone knew at that time, you know, with JFK or with, you know, the Snowden films. So I think it's all the above.
Yeah. Chili Pepper in our chat says, Jay, do you believe in the Protocols of Zion?
That's a good question, because that document pops up in Russia and you have a Russian monk named Sergei Nihilus who discovers it. And we don't know the provenance of it or where it came from. And it describes a pattern of how to subvert governments, how to sort of infiltrate, take them over, deracinate the people, and eventually sort of erect a world government around Zion. Earlier documents prior to that, like Adam Weishaupt's real documents and plans, he was the founder of the Order of the Bavarian Order of the Illuminati. His documents describe similar types of plans of erecting a sort of a world socialist, Jacobin style revolutionary communist government. Those ideologies of Weishaupt, for example, played a heavy role in influencing the French revolutionaries, who did want, especially the Jacobins, they were the left wing of the right wing dialectic in the French Revolution. They wanted a full on communist, atheist, socialist world order. And what you see in the protocols is something very similar. So whether or not that document is 100% accurate or authentic, it does express a real historic plan for a socialist world order. And whether that one's true or not, like, you already have documents like Moses Hess's book from Rome and Jerusalem, where he says we're going to, you know, set up a kind of a socialist order. The Rothschilds are behind it. They are supporting what we want to do. And we're going to start buying up the land in the Middle East. And that was in the 1860s when he says that in his book. So I would say there's a real plan for a socialist order.
You talk about playing the long game.
Well, yeah, I know. And planning and programming. I mean, you mentioned something at the very beginning I wanted to kind of circle back on, which is like this predictive programming. And they're sort of setting us up. Many people in our chat room are saying, like, this is all, like, they lay the groundwork for us through Hollywood, right, in books. And we saw that, of course, with Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Steven Spielberg reportedly saw one of the famous film, actually, from the United States military, where a craft did land. That's why we got Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And now we get his new Disclosure film, which is coming out this summer. Steven Spielberg's Disclosure Day. And as we're moving towards disclosure, I'm hearing reports from different sources that President Trump's team has already written like a UFO disclosure speech that the president is prepared to give. So it's like all coming out now. We're getting, you know, congressional hearings and testimony and documentaries. And now Steven Spielberg is about to launch his big film. It just smells weird to me. It's like he's in on it. We know that's, well, anyway, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what do you think about the predictive programming? They're about to have a big disclosure moment in the U.S. and Steven Spielberg is helping with it.
Yeah, there's a whole section in the first book, Star Hollywood 1, where I covered the role of Spielberg, I think, in predictive programming and propaganda. He's definitely a longtime propagandist at a very high level when it comes to, you know, stuff, especially back during the Reagan era. Reagan actually appropriated quite a bit of money and focus on, in the 1980s, getting Hollywood to produce very pro-military, pro-USA propaganda. Not just for the Cold War and the collapse of the Soviets, but the reinvigorating of the American Imperium, which we later see in the 90s. That's the PNAC document ends up being the same ideology of the neoconservatives to have the rebuilt American Empire. You know, you saw in the 80s a lot of movies like Top Gun. Again, Tom Cruise is there. Top Gun is a huge military promo film. In fact, it was very successful in getting a lot of people to go into the military, including my dad. My dad thought Top Gun made him want to go into the Navy. So it worked. And there was other films that came out, Navy SEALs and others at that time. So predictive programming has that one level, which is just pure propaganda, but you've also got things like subliminals. That's, you know, people have been studying that since the 60s and 70s. That does exist to a degree in advertising and film. You've got the element of perhaps an occult connection, where some directors explicitly believe that their films are ritual workings. I think if you look at people like Darren Aronofsky, he's an open Kabbalist. A lot of his films have a very sort of dark Kabbalistic vibe to them. You've got directors like Robert Eggers, one of the, you know, top directors out there now. He's openly interested in, Satanism and the occult. He talks about reading grimoires and whatnot and requiring the actors to read grimoires to understand how to sort of instantiate that sort of dark ethos in their acting, the Stanislavski method, that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of layers to predictive programming. But another element, I think, is in terms of psychological warfare, one thing that has been studied is that fiction has the ability to sort of prepare you, condition you, and maybe even anesthetize you to the things when they really happen. So you have these dystopian films for many years that talk about things to come, and then lo and behold, they come about, right? Philip K. Dick's stories have been very well noted for that tendency. Isaac Asimov Foundation, you know, you've got you've got texts from the 60s and 70s that predicted the internet, Silicon Valley, tracking, tracing, you know, all these dystopian texts. But are they also conditioning? I would say on the part of Hollywood, yeah, there's a lot of conditioning that they want to, you know, get the public to accept the stuff when it comes out. And probably I would say with the alien mythos, and in my opinion, the aliens are more demonic. It's a demonic phenomena. And in that regard, probably what they're doing is preparing the people for the announcement of some disclosure that, I don't know if you guys have ever read Arthur Clarke's Childhood's End, but Childhood's End is a text written by a guy who was into Crowley, and he was a PDF, right? Arthur C. Clarke, the famous sci-fi guy. And, you know, he co-wrote 2001. Well, Clarke says that it's basically a demon. It's this hoofed, cloven-hoofed, you know, character that's behind the alien phenomena when the aliens arrive and announce their disclosure. You know, I covered that in my first book, too, I think, covering the film Signs, the Mel Gibson film, which I think hints at it being demonic.
Gosh. I mean, and I am also sensitive because my grandfather was a survivor of the Japanese Holocaust, that Asians are not allowed to use that word, Holocaust, and that all of the Spielberg programming is only about the Jewish Holocaust and ignoring all of the peripheral tragedies that happened at the exact same time, in greater numbers, in fact. And so that seems to me very purposeful, that we are programmed to think of only one group's suffering. So if, when you tell me that Spielberg is part of a CIA co-op, that makes a lot of sense to me. I guess, you know, I was talking to my mother about this the other day. My mother, she likes to read books that Costco put out, you know, so she likes Michelle Obama and Meghan Markle because of Harry. You know, she's just basically, she's programmed by these, this various, and I'm like, you have to be really careful, Mom, about celebrity worship, because you don't know what's behind it. And she was very, after the Epstein files, amenable to this message, where she hasn't been before, where she's like, don't talk bad about Meghan Markle, which is a hobby of mine. And so, you know, I think that it's helpful that we can see it now. It's important to know it. There's a great comment here. They're supposed to show us what they're doing because it's the sin to ignore it. And I love that framing of it. So, you know, we're here now. We can talk about this in polite society. I think that that's progress.
Absolutely. Yeah. This was something that was absolutely taboo. I read the first, my first text on this subject in 2004. I went and dug this out of my library, and it's a now out of print book, but it's written by a Catholic journalist, and it's called Lucifer's Lodge, and it's the history of SRA in the Catholic Church up to 2004. That was my introduction to this, and I was kind of, you know, shocked, obviously, at the time, because I was in my 20s and had no idea that the world was this dark. But you start to realize it's not just one institution, right? It's not just Rome or the Vatican that seems to be tied into these things. You start reading about the history of British intelligence when I was doing my grad work on Ian Fleming. And, well, Ian Fleming, turns out he's writing into his stories, you know, real things that he saw as a high-level British intelligence operative. He's putting it into films that, no, they're actually involved in international crime, trafficking, blackmail, all of this. So James Bond is actually more of a villain than he is, you know, the hero, if you get into the real history of this stuff. When I think about, for example, Epstein, right, like he doesn't seem to be he's not a top of the pyramid kind of guy. He's more like a mid-level fixer, crime consultant kind of guy. He's like, let me help you figure out how to do more crimes.
Yeah.
And then I'm an expert at crime. And then I think about, well, if you remember Inspector, and this is one example, and obviously that film included some propaganda, but, you know, the recent James Bond with Daniel Craig and Christoph Waltz, Spectre, who's Waltz is playing Blofeld, there's this great scene where Bond is infiltrating one of their international meetings, and I think it's happening in Rome or something, which made me think of the Club of Rome and, you know, that old document with Maurice Strong and the Rockefellers. But he gets in there, and they're having this giant, you know, elite tabletop meeting, and the criminals are all organized. They're all like
Sir, we have had an upwards tick in $40 billion money laundered this year. Yes, I would like to add that we've had 30,000 more cases of human trafficking, up from last year, 30%.
So they're like listing all their crime stats as like how profitable they've been.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is literally the Epstein, the emails are literally like Spectre.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're putting it all out there. Like, oh, well, how do we skirt laws? How do we go around the United States legal system in order to carry this out for human cloning? It's like you're literally reading like an Ian Fleming novel.
Exactly.
It's crazy. I know. Truth is stranger than fiction. Strange. Yeah, we lived down the street from where Ian Fleming worked when he was in Portugal and at the Hotel Palacio there. And just crazy what he was doing at that hotel and, you know, during the war and all that. Just fascinating stuff. Jay, thank you for your encyclopedic knowledge of this, and it's been absolutely fascinating. And we hope you'll come back, and obviously we're going to continue as we go through the other 3 million documents if we ever get our hands on those, and I'm sure there'll be so much more to talk about. But thank you so much for your great work. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. And yeah, if anybody wants, you can get Esoteric Hollywood at my website, jasonalsis.com, in the shop.
What's the name of the website again for people to go to?
jasonalsis.com. And in the shop there is, so you can get any of my books, 1, 2, and 3. There's 3 episodes now, 3 installments of Esoteric Hollywood. So I just put the 3rd one out covering basically everything that we covered today, but in 3 different books.
Awesome stuff. Yeah. Jay, thank you so much. Great to see you.
Thank you guys.
Appreciate it. All right.
All right. It's real. If you don't believe it now, go ahead, Philip.
After listening to him, though, I was commenting in our production group chat, like, a lot of people use books as a backdrop for their, like, a bookcase as a backdrop for their their set. I'm pretty sure he's read all of those.
Yeah.
That's the impression I got.
With all the bookmarks and the highlights and everything.
Yeah. It's so funny. If you go to like how to build a studio, you know, people like, get a fake book backdrop. And like, you know, and it'll be like, it's like all Oprah Book Club books and stuff like that. And it's like, you know that these people haven't read these books. Jay? Yeah, he's read them. You can tell that Jay has read these books. He's a walking encyclopedia. Yeah. So love having him on the show. All right. Hey, we're going to take some of your super chats here in a second. And we want to thank you all for subscribing. But yeah, we want to get to some of your super chats and comments here. We'll read some of the chat room commentary. There's a lot of great comments here. So we'll try to get to as many of them as we can. But first,
we want to tell you about Connect Invest, because, hey, is your money actually working for you or just sitting there doing nothing? Well, you know that the American dollar is being devalued. So if your money is in a savings account, it is depreciating as we speak and breathe. So you want to make sure that your money is in performing assets. And there is a smarter option. This is one that thousands of investors are already using to grow their wealth without volatility, without complicated real estate deals, without needing a ton of money to start. It's called Connect Invest. With Connect Invest, you're investing in real estate-backed notes and earning fixed, predictable monthly income with returns of up to 9% annually. So no tenants, no toilets, no 3 a.m. phone calls, no guessing what the market's doing. And you can get started in as little as $500. That's right, just $500. It's simple. So you just go to connectinvest.com/redacted, create a free account, and add $500 to your digital wallet. And then you choose the terms of the note, 6, 12, or 24 months. And then you just sit back and watch your monthly income hit your account. You're helping fund real estate, commercial, and residential projects while earning passive income every single month. Plus, they have a special deal right now. When you fund your account, you'll get an extra $50 bonus straight into your digital wallet. So if you put $500 in, you're actually earning a return on $550 just for this special bonus. So sign up today at redacted.inc/invest. Again, it's free money before you even start, predictable income, and don't let your savings devaluate because of global politics, which you cannot control. Put it somewhere where you can. redacted.inc/invest.
All right, a few super chats here. Let's get to them here. Jilly Prepper says, Donald J. Trump was best friends with Epstein for 10 years. I don't know. Was he best friends with him? Let's see.
I mean, not to be like, do people like that have best friends? Mm. Like, I think they have acquaintances, probably favorite acquaintances, but friends, I don't see.
I don't know about that. Remnant Disciple Lazaro Revelation 1217 says, no, I, you know, we get so many, So Remnant was like, why didn't you ask Jay my question? If I didn't see it as a super chat, like our chat room flies by. So it's hard for me to see stuff that's not like paused with, you know, it's like impossible like to go scroll all the way back. So I'll do my best here. But you were, I said, sorry, I did not see your super chat. What question did you ask? And he said, oh, sorry. Oh, you were only taking questions based on a super chat? No, I can't go scroll through every one of them. We get thousands of comments that come in every few
right,
minutes.
Right, like super chats are pinned in a different place. So you can just click on that and see them right there. Regular chats are just, they just scroll by so fast that if you don't catch it live, it's buried.
In the back end, there's an area called viewer activity where I can actually click on that and it shows us the few super chats that we got that came in. So just so you understand, not to have your feelings hurt, Remnant, but appreciate it. But Remnant likes was telling how he's more, I think you were saying like you're you know more than Jay or something. Oh, I've studied New World Order since early 2001. Just wanted to state what Jay Dyer shared is not new to us. Okay. Thank you, Remnant. So that's great. That's wonderful that you are enlightened and that you know more than most people. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that. Not everyone knows all of that research, but that's amazing that you do. AK Steve says, Representative Massey, many Epstein emails were sent via Gmail, not secure or hidden systems. Does that suggest confidence in immunity? And should Congress investigate how this was allowed to persist? Well, I mean, certainly people like using non-governmental emails for this type of transactional behavior, for sure, right? This is the thing that got, you know, Hillary Clinton in trouble, but then not really in trouble, and nothing ever happened to her because James Comey, right? Thank you, Apophis, for your super chat as well. Brandon C., thank you for your $5 super chat. Love the show and your efforts. And Apophis, thank you for your $50 super chat. Really appreciate that. FISA, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing your name correct, says, hey there, just want to say thank you. You're doing a fantastic job with your news reports on YouTube. Excellent work, especially on the Epstein stories. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. I mean, the thing is, we're constantly learning, right? And so that's the goal here with this show is we don't have all the answers. I certainly don't. I mean, except a couple of our viewers just admitted that they have all the answers, but for the most part, we're all learning constantly and we all have blind spots and we're all trying to dig deeper into these stories. So that's the goal here. You know, and I also think it's important, like we had, you know, we had David Icke on the show, who's done incredible work for 36 years. And I saw one comment that was like, but there's other people that have done more work than him. It's like, okay. So we should only ever have on the person who's now 95 years old and doesn't even have a computer and can't do internet access. But okay, I appreciate that.
Who is the person that knows everything? Like the point of having multiple like experts out there is they kind of like specialize in certain things. Now, I can't think of a single person I would be like, yes, that person knows absolutely everything there is to know about the Epstein files. Right. You're not going to find it.
Right.
It's just, it doesn't exist. So you have to get multiple people with multiple perspectives who each have a little bit of the pie.
Right. And so we're covering multiple angles here on the show, because I think arguably it's the biggest story in the world right now, because it's not just about Epstein. It touches so many pieces of the story, from ufology to advanced propulsion technology. I mean, it touches pedophilia, Hollywood, our government officials, this entire Satanist network, child trafficking, why we create wars, why we're openly pushing for war in Ukraine so we could destabilize the country and sell off their children in a massive sex trafficking operation, which is still going on, by the way. As we've covered the
global
baby
economies.
Factories. Yeah, global economies. I mean, I'm sure I'm missing something. Yeah, biometric surveillance state, right? Everything. So I think it's arguably the biggest story in the world. Next only perhaps to the UFO revelations that we're just learning about and we're likely to hear more about. But like Congressman Burchett just admitted on camera, what we've been reporting here for at least the last year or two, that there are underground bases, massive underground bases, where we have aliens that we're working with. This is coming from Congressman Burchett. Can you imagine, like, on a normal day, like, that story should be the number one story in the world. It's unbelievable. We're actively working with aliens at underground water bases in the ocean, which we've covered that here on the show, with different secret space program insiders and whistleblowers. Now, Congressman Burchett is on the record saying that he has evidence that that's the case. Okay, let's just move along. Let's just talk about Bad Bunny at halftime shows, cultural stuff, stuff the Epstein binder access journalist types will cover on their shows. But they won't talk about Lutnick. They won't talk about those connections at all. Demons. Demons. YouTube is heavily... Remnant Disciple says, redacted, I was not stating that in prideful way, knowing things, all things. Please don't misrepresent what I stated. I was just stating much of what he shared. You start to learn after many years of research. Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. But also, you were the one last week to comment when I mentioned we were having David Icke on the show, and you were saying, but you got to have this other guy on because he knows more than David Icke. It's like, okay. So I know that you know everything, or that you think that other people should know as much as you on a particular area, and therefore we shouldn't have on somebody like David Icke, who spent 36 years researching this stuff because there was somebody else out there. So I'm just seeing a pattern here with what you're saying. That's all. So I'm not, you know, okay. That's all I'm saying. So whether or not you're being prideful or whatever, I'm just saying we can all be a little, we can all show a little humility about things we don't know. And just because you've been researching something for 40 years doesn't mean that everyone who's watching has also done that. Or maybe you know more than Jay Dyer, and that's amazing. That's also great. And I'm thrilled that you do.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not in here bragging about, you know, my extensive knowledge on aqua socks on a daily basis, you know.
But you do it privately, and I want to ask you to
yes,
stop.
Privately?
He won't shut up. He won't shut up about it. All the time.
Do you guys see the new pink ones that just came out?
No, I don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
Aqua socks? Come on.
I have no idea. Aqua socks.
What you ever been in a river? Oh, you like, just like bareback into a river?
Oh, you mean like the shoes that like allow you to walk on stones?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
As an avid fisherman, I figured you'd at least warm once in your life.
He probably wears waders.
I'm trying to get a hold of Bearskin to see if we can't come up with some kind of redacted collaboration with the aqua socks and hoodies.
That'd be great. Yes, Remnant, I know you said Fritz Springmeier, who, yes, wrote, what is it, the Illuminati book from back in the day. I'd love to have him on. I think he's, you know, 70 years old or something like that. If, you know, if he's able to do it, we'd love to have him on. Yeah, exactly. Fritz Springmeier. Stop sock shaming, Clayton. I don't know what aqua socks are. I like, you mean the, like the water shoes? We call them like water shoes. I don't know, the ones you wear like when you go like.
Yeah, I always call them river shoes.
Like whitewater rafting or something. You kind of put them on the. Yeah.
Google aqua socks. Just make sure you spell it right.
Yeah. Yeah, but Remnant, I would love to have Fritz on the show. Like, that's the thing. As you know, on my show, like, I'm willing to have anybody on the show who's willing to share their insights and research, you know? But it kind of rubbed me the wrong way, I will admit. Like, when 2 weeks ago I said, you know, we're going to have, you know, David Icke on the show, who spent 36 years researching this material and arguably one of the most knowledgeable individuals in the world on the subject. And you jumped in and said, no, there's somebody else who's more knowledgeable. Okay. I appreciate that. There's always going to be someone who has more knowledge. Would love that. Thank you. So, we all keep learning more each day. Oh, and someone said Fritz is in jail. Is that true? Fritz is in jail? Okay. Well, that might be difficult to get him on the show. I don't know why he's in jail. Someone says, get Dr. Stephen Greer on the show again. That's the thing. It's like, again, I've had Dr. Stephen Greer on the show multiple times, and then I get him on and people are like, why did you have Stephen Greer on the show? You know, other people are like, have Stephen Greer on the show. You can't please everyone, you know, can't please everyone. Like we had Marjorie Taylor Greene on the show, you know, people are like, thank you for having Marjorie Taylor Greene on the show. She's a truth teller. Other people saying, how dare you have Marjorie Taylor Greene on the show? Anyway, it's what makes the world go round, right? Yes, Paper Wings. I would love to have Fritz on the show for sure. Simon, see if we can do that. It'd be great. If he's not in prison, someone says he's in prison. I don't know. Sweet Sassy Bell says, what do you do when your spouse doesn't believe you? I mean, on these subject matters? You know what I found where it works really, really well in those situations? Not with my spouse, but, well, sometimes with her, because she'll only focus on, like, certain stories sometimes in her brain, you know? You just kind of have to, like, drop her videos from time to time. That's, I think, how that works, you know? So if you've got a spouse who, like, doesn't believe that Jeffrey Epstein was a pedophile or something like that, maybe share him videos of this show a little bit, like, just, you know, slowly. Or UFO and disclosure. Like, do you know some of those people out there that literally don't believe in aliens? Be like, sorry, that ship has sailed. We now have on the congressional record that we have biologics. We have off-world biology and bodies on the congressional record. Like, that's not a matter of, like, I believe in that anymore. Like, really? Then that person is just being willfully ignorant. So just kind of, like, slip them some videos, you know? Like, hey, honey, maybe you should watch this video.
You have to guide people to information. You can't force them, because anytime you try to force somebody, you're going to get resistance. So you have to, like, what I've always said is you kind of have to make it almost feel like it's their idea. Like, it's their, you know, they saw the information because you guided them there, not because you tried to force it on them. Because you will never be able to force information on somebody.
No, I think, like, leaving little breadcrumbs of things from time to time. But, you know, for a lot of liberals out there, honestly, a lot of people who didn't think that there was, like, a secret cabal, a deep state, all these pedophiles running the world. The Epstein files have been a blessing in many ways, because for a lot of, like, liberals who didn't want to believe it, it's really opened their eyes to this stuff. Clinton, Obama, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, all of it involved in this. So I know even my wife has friends who were, like, pretty liberal back in the day, and they're, like, texting her. They're like, oh my God, it's real. It's real. Like, they've been so gaslit for so long by CNN and MSNBC and all of these people, you know?
I was going to say, that's why I've always argued, you know, like, when we would talk about certain subjects and people will be like, why are you calling it that? Why, it's a bioweapon. It's like, you have to use language that doesn't sound conspiratorial to guide them and then let them get there. Because if you start with all of those words, the things that we know, then it shuts them down, because then they're like, that's the narrative they're hearing from, like, the mainstream media, like, oh, these are conspiracy theorists and all this other stuff. So you kind of have to pull back on your language.
Yeah.
You have to, and along with that, you have to factor in, like, what you're trying to do is not get somebody to believe you. Because, I mean, there's a lot of people we have on the show. I believe everything they say. I have no reason to think that they're lying, but I remain unconvinced of the conclusion. And so it's like, if you're trying to convince somebody of something, you're not going to do it by shouting it's a bioweapon at them. That is not a convincing argument.
Right. And yeah, because so sometimes, like, we'll do stories here, and then someone in the chat room will be like, that's a bioweapon, or that's all a psyop. It's like, okay, maybe, but show me the evidence, you know? I just want the facts. I just want the evidence. I don't have an agenda. You know, I think all these people are corrupt. I can count on one hand the number of politicians that I have any trust in at all. Most of them are all corrupt. They're all dirty, you know? And when you tell me that, like, this is a bioweapon or this is the agenda specifically, prove it to me. Just show me the evidence. Show me the evidence that leads to that conclusion, and I'll be right there with you, you know? I was kind of willing to believe, at least in part, this idea that Epstein was, his body was swapped out. Now, based on evidence, I don't believe that anymore, based on certain things which from sources that will probably come to light in the next week or so. I'm not allowed to really talk about it. But I will say that I don't believe that anymore. I believe that he was, in fact, murdered. That's what I've believed all along. And now I believe I have confirmation of that. So show me the evidence. You know, I was willing to be open to the idea that according to those FBI documents, there was a van that pulled up and maybe his body was swapped out and these sorts of things. But I've seen too much evidence in the other direction to show me that, in fact, he was murdered in that cell. Didn't kill himself, but murdered for sure. But anyway, so just again, show me the evidence. Stephen Greer, hey you in our chat, $5 super chat says, Stephen Greer will tell you big disclosures coming tomorrow and then 2 years later, nothing. In my opinion, he's not trustworthy to say the least. Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, he really loves to talk. That's for sure. And he really loves to talk. He really loves to hear himself as well, which... You know, hey, does that make him wrong, though? He loves to say things. And
again, that's one of those things that, like, I have no reason to doubt that when he says that, that he believes that to be true. But I'm at the end of that conversation, am I convinced? And I haven't been. But,
yeah,
you know, it's like, I don't think it makes him, I don't think he's you shouldn't believe him. It's just that, you know, are you convinced that that's going to be the case? And, you know, go from there.
We should invite a sower of seeds, says $5. You guys should definitely invite Simon Dixon on. You won't regret it. Simon Dixon. I know that name. Blank Giver says Stephen Greer was hoping for disclosure, but he can't control it. And that's the other piece of it that I believe, too. I believe that Stephen Greer is sincere. And I believe that what the people that he's talking to on a regular basis, I know for a fact that he's been talking to very high level people inside the United States government, members of Congress, obviously. I know that for a fact. Can he control when the government actually just decides to disclose it? I don't think he has that power. Uptown Fragrance says, please watch Michael Sarian Origins of Evil and Peter Legendary Sinister is a must see. Please watch. Okay, I'll check that out. Pete's Tronak says, isn't it ironic that all of these people that were disgusted by what they saw going on with Klepstein didn't think to go to authorities and report it? Well, some of them did. Many of them did. We have how many 302 reports from the FBI from these witnesses who reported it?
And victims, but all that got shut down in the original trial.
Yeah. Mud Fossil University. Did I get a chance to delve into that yet, Clayton? No, I didn't. Not yet. Just in case. Clayton, please check your email. Okay, I will. Someone says, love you guys, by the way. Robin says, Robin Chapman, love you guys, by the way. Thank you so much. Look it all up and make up your own minds. Yeah, exactly. Study all the angles and make up your own minds.
I have looked into Mud Fossil quite a bit, and I very much remain unconvinced.
Roji, if Epstein is dead, where is your evidence? Like I said, again, I can't, I was speaking to different sources who are going to come forward with their own evidence on that. I don't want to get out in front of them. It's not my place to do that. But I've spoken to two different sources on this piece of the story that likely will come out very, very soon. And you'll know when it comes out. It's going to be everywhere, by the way. Redmond says, Clayton, when are we going around the moon? Well, I would love to. I would love to do that. I would love to see the moon base, as many of the special space program people. Any other Bob Weston says, was Kid Rock a pedophile when his song called Some Call It Statutory But I Call It Mandatory came out in 2008? I don't know.
The lyrics would suggest so. I mean, they're just lyrics, but that is the point of the lyrics.
I mean, he writes his own songs.
Was Sting a pedophile when he wrote about Nabokov's book Lolita, speaking about the teacher, Don't Stand So Close to Me? You know, when he was writing a song about Nabokov, writing about that? I don't know. I mean, I doubt it. I mean, I love Sting, so defend him to the cows come home. Ali C. Lunatics says, let's lobby Clayton until he gets Graham Moore on the show. Sure. Long Meadow says, over 9,000 people on Rumble ignored by Clayton. Sorry for the Rumblers who donated Rumble rants. I'm not ignoring you. I'm reading all. I'm on Rumble right now. We have both of them open the whole time. David is putting up Rumble rants on the screen. I know that's something we're working on, because Rumble has a whole different infrastructure that I don't know where we can even find those Rumble rants. So, David, do you know where I find those?
They used to be in, let me go in there really quick.
So one thing we're working on this week is that we're going to start putting up on the screen super chats and Rumble rants. So like, is this one here? The Trumps knew about Jean-Luc and Jeffrey since the 1990s. This is why Donald bought Miss... Oh, just up there too fast. And we also kind of keep them up on the screen longer. But so let's work on that, because I really want to get that going for Super Chats. It's something we talked about a few weeks ago. But so David will be able to push those right up on the screen when we do Super Chats. So Mr. Mike says, Trump's knew about Jean-Luc and Jeffrey since the 1990s. This is why the Donald brought Ms. Universe bought it, to protect teen Ivanka from the fashion freaks. Someone was asking about Dr. Sala. You know, Dr. Sala has been in the hospital. I would love to have him back on. We're just trying to, I want to make sure that he's okay. And I haven't gotten an update on his health. All right. I think we'll, unless you're able to get these Rumble rants, David.
Yeah.
Are you able to get the Rumble rants? I'm sorry. Did you tell me and I?
No, I'm looking for them. They're.
Where do I find them?
That's what I'm looking to. I'm looking to see where they are. So I think they're in.
So I see one at the top. I see two at the top I can read, but that's.
Yeah, you can see them. They sit there, but when they go away, that's the problem.
So
it's
YouTube,
finding them after they disappear.
YouTube has a back end where they stay and you can go in and read them afterwards.
Yeah, and supposedly so does Rumble, but.
So Active Guardian, $1 Rumble rant, says Trump's facilitation of heroin by having our troops guard the poppy fields and the warlords' drug shipments has killed far more people with heroin than his Epstein sins, 1 million worldwide. And Nico and Dime says, random question, but do you have a miniature pincher, don't you? Ours just went to doggy heaven, made it 12 years. Oh, no. Sorry, Nico and Dime. Sorry to hear that. Yeah, our boy Grover, who normally sits in this bed here. Well, he doesn't normally sit there, but he we have it here in the studio, but he gets up and runs around. You know how mini pinchers are. They don't like to sit still very much. He just turned 6 years old the other day. Do I have a picture? Yeah, I don't know if you can take Natalie's shot over there. We have a little drawing up there on the... I'll do it. There we go. Oh, yeah, I don't know if you can see it up there in the corner. There's a little... Up there, there's a little a drawing that a viewer made of Grover with a sketch. It was really... Very nice. But yeah, I can't see any other Rumble rants unless David can find them.
Yeah, I can't find them anywhere in here. I don't know where the heck they...
Maybe we can ask the team at Rumble David? Maybe we can figure out how to do that.
Well, we can do it with Social Stream Ninja. The problem with that is, though, that you have to push them. We can't push them remotely. And with vMix, there's no way to divide up super chats.
I just meant, like, talk to the Rumble team about, like, where they live afterwards. But, yeah, however you want to push them to the screen, I know you were going to take that over so that you push them on the screen, because I don't want to have to try to keep up with all of them if they're going to be disappearing all the time or moving so fast.
Well, that's the thing. In Social Stream Ninja, they won't. It'll be like last time where they kind of separate. That separates Super Chats and Rumble Rants, whereas vMix does not. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do it that way. Then that way I can just go back to them and grab them from there.
Yeah.
All right.
That's already set up on the Mac Mini. I just need to put the URL in there, and then Grim just needs to open it every day. But I cannot find them in here anywhere in Rumble, so I'll reach out to them.
All right. Anything else? JT says, please, 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 Clayton, check out Professor Jiang. Very insightful and thought-provoking. I will. Professor Jiang. Danielle Mons says, nobody will be prosecuted. It's a hot topic, but it won't be fixed or prevented in the future. I don't know about that. I think we can go a long way. I mean, that's just being defeatist. I think I'm a glass half full kind of person. I think we can go a long way to stopping massive pedophile rings. I mean, in the same way, you know, same way we stopped lynching, right? I mean, I think we can stop these things. You know, I'm like a Star Trek Next Generation kind of guy, you know, like I believe in a moral future where we eliminate these types of things. Maybe it'll take us 100 years, 150 years, right? But we'll get there. Remnant says, thank you for your replies to me nonetheless. No, I appreciate the feedback. I want you to understand, like, we go to great lengths to get great people on the show, and it's like, oh, you're going to have this pastor come on to talk about Christianity. Why didn't you get Jesus Christ to come on? Why don't you ask Jesus to come on? He knows more than this guy. It's like, we do our best to get great people. And there's always maybe going to be somebody that has maybe more knowledge somewhere. Are they willing to do our show? Can we get a hold of them? Do they even do media appearances? You know,
Well, and we tried to have Jesus on, but there's too much of a delay between his signal. Like, it was like almost 2 minute delay. So it's impossible.
And Jesus doesn't use Zoom either.
Yeah. You know? And his dad said he was grounded that week anyway. So
he's old school. He's old school. I'm totally fine to do a sit down. So, but Remnant, I appreciate the feedback. I really do. I really do. And by the way, you, as a result of you messaging me about that, like, as much as I was like, hey, let's listen to David Icke as well, like, I also jumped in and started researching Fritz. So thank you for that. So I do appreciate that. And it takes a lot for me to get, like, pissed off about anything. I mean, I get pissed off when people, like, pick on my wife. That's, like, you know, or make character assumptions. That's, I think, the thing that drives me the nuts the most. Like, yeah, picking on my wife and when people question your intentions, I can't stand that. As if they know what's in your head. I don't know if you guys like that or not, but I've always hated it since I was a kid, you know? Back to when my mom would be like, so I guess you're not going to mow the lawn then this weekend, right? Because she's like, I was doing something with a friend on Saturday morning, and it's like, it's Saturday morning and I've got the rest of Saturday afternoon and a whole Sunday to mow the lawn and get the job done. So I guess you're just not going to mow the lawn then this weekend. Yeah, that's my intention, to not mow the lawn this weekend because I'm playing with Ben right now. We're playing basketball for an hour. And it used to drive me nuts. Like, I don't know. You can see it still drives me nuts, right? Oh, so I guess you're not gonna do that today? And I never said that. Don't question my intentions. It's the same with my show. It's like, oh, so your intentions are to push this one kind of a narrative or to do. No, I don't. That's not my intention at all. My intention is to try to cover every angle, right? Try to be open and honest and all of that. So that drives me nuts. Like, I'll tell you, if you want to just ask me, you could just ask me. And I'll tell you the answer. But when people, like, claim that they know your intentions, that stuff drives me nuts. Oh, was it your intention to cut me off when you were merging? It's like, no, I didn't see you. My intention wasn't to hurt your feelings or to, you know. Anyway, drives me nuts. Thank you guys for subscribing. We have a great show lined up for you tomorrow. We have a really good show lined up for you tomorrow. We are going to go deep with the person who broke the Pizzagate story. The OG. They ruined her life because of it. They tried to totally bankrupt her. It's an incredible story. I'm very excited to speak with Liz Crokin on the show tomorrow about Pizzagate. The OG reporter who broke that story before anybody else. So I want to give credit where credit is due on that story. So that's going to be tomorrow here on Redacted. So please subscribe. Please turn on that little bell notification so you'll be notified when we go live. Thank you for being a part of our community. Remnant, I love you. I do. And I love all of you guys. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Have a great night, everyone.